HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch Podcast, the weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Brunch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Brunch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hey guys, how's it going? Moms, they are often compared to tigers. Mine is like that too when it comes to things she cares about and people she cares about. And as more and more people who've come across my mother tell me how much I've started looking like her, I wish I had some of her other qualities too. I mean, like the way she laughs wholeheartedly and you can just hear it all around the neighborhood, and how that itself lights up, the entire room or even the neighborhood. And then, of course, there's her empathy and this sacrifice that, you know, she quietly makes, which obviously I've only realized now that I've grown up. And of course, the way she's so graceful, even when she's doing the silliest of things. Our HD Brunch cover star this Mother's Day is another tiger of a mother, TV personality Mandira Bedi, whose 4.5-year-old daughter was trolled on an Instagram post recently.
Join Rupali Dean as she chats with Mandira about her kids and being a mom. And happy Mother's Day to all of you.
Welcome to the HD Podcast.
Thank you very much, Rupali. I'm very excited to be on the cover of HD Brunch, and even more excited because you have written the article.
And I'm equally excited that I got to write it. I'm so happy. So I'm going to call you Tiger Mom, especially for the way you turned tiger for Tara. Tell us something about exactly what happened.
Well, you know, I've been on social media for quite a few years now, and I have never taken anything that has been said to me personally. I've developed a very, very thick skin. But a couple of weeks ago, when I had put a picture out of my family and some friends, and Tara was in it, there were some very nasty comments that came from someone. And they asked me which Slumdog Center I had got my prop daughter from. And normally I don't react to trolls, but I needed to highlight this one and call this person out. So I basically took a screenshot of the comment and posted on my story. And then when I tagged this person, his picture came up and a previous comment of his popped up as well in my messages. And that was equally disgusting. And I screenshotted that and posted that as well. I didn't do anything other than that, but a lot of my friends got very enraged and kind of reported him to cyber and even to Instagram. And I think the account got suspended. So here's the thing. I just think that someone who can write nasty stuff like that about, you know, a little girl. And I just think that these guys, these trolls, they live under the shield of anonymity, and they have only courage to say stuff because they are anonymous and because no one can call them out, really. No one can call out the individual themselves, because they must have a lot of these fake accounts to do this stuff from.
Yeah.
So I just think they're the weakest and the lowest kind of individual. And I just wanted to call them out on their behavior. And that's about it. And you know what? I think maybe over time, I can't say this will be the last I hear of it or hear from people like this. So because I felt this way and because it was about my daughter, I did respond and I did react. But I, you know, like I said, it's not going to be the last. These kind of people need to be called out, yes. And that's what I did. Who knows whether I'll get thick-skinned about, you know, people like this when they talk about my children up ahead. I don't think so because, you know, as a mother, and when someone says anything about either of my children, yeah, like a tiger, my claws come out.
Yeah, tigress mommy. So how is it being Tara's mom?
Oh my, it's been fantastic. It's like an unbelievable journey. It's been overwhelming. It's been scary. It's been like before she came, I was very overwhelmed. I was very apprehensive. I was, you know, worried. When she came with a set of, you know, she's come as a four-year-old child with her set of, you know, issues and problems, and, you know, dealing with them when you know so little about this little child who's now part of your life and part of your family. It's difficult. And I've done a parenting course, no, two parenting courses in the last year.
Oh, wow.
It really helped me deal with her, you know, a fair amount better. And the fact that we didn't get along with her or didn't like her to begin with, those courses helped me sort of navigate around all the issues that I was having as a parent. I think parents need to evolve, need to adapt, because, you know, so much has changed since we were children. So much has changed in parenting since we were children. Children are exposed to so much more now, and so much digital content, and so much on the internet. So we have no choice but to adapt and to change. And so with Tara as well, these courses have helped me. And I think I sometimes lie down on my bed with my two children on either side of me, and I am like so grateful, so blessed, I feel, and so privileged to have a journey as special as this, to have one child who is biologically mine and the other one who is mine, but who I didn't make, who I didn't sort of cook in my oven. So it's a very special thing, and I just, you know, it comes with its ups and downs, it comes with its question marks, it comes with its apprehension, it comes with its worry, as, you know, parenting does. But it's a beautiful journey, and I feel very, very blessed and privileged. Have it here on in.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that she loves being called Pudiya Rani, and we've seen a lot of your posts which, you know, call her Pudiya Rani. But what are the other nicknames that she has?
Oh gosh, she has so many nicknames, we lost count. We call her, when she came, we used to call, she can't say it first, so she says love for Tara, she goes Tala. So we used to call her Tala Pala Chicken Masala, Talu Palu Kacha Alu. When she talks a lot, she's called Talu Palu Chapar Chapar Chalu. When she's nowadays, she's become everybody's Nani Amma, Dadi Amma. So because she's always telling us what to do, what not to do. Bhaiya ne ye bhi nahi kiya, mama ne wo bhi nahi kiya, papa ne ye bhi nahi kiya. So we call her, at that time, we call her either Tari Amma, or we call her, we got a new name for her. Pudiya Rani Sabki Nani.
Oh.
So we, yeah, and there's another sweet little name for her because she's my little monkey. We call her Chimpeshwari. So she's told me, oh, and also when she's naughty, and, you know, I call her anything other than Chimpeshwari or Pudiya Rani, she goes, no, mama, no. I like Pudiya Rani. I like Chimpeshwari.
Oh, she likes Chimpeshwari.
She likes Chimpeshwari. And I've also started calling her Champak Lal and Battuk Lal and Chapeti Lal, but she does not appreciate those.
I know the things we name our kids.
I used to call Veer Timpu and Timpanan Shastri.
Oh,
so
my.
You can imagine. Yeah. So I have a Timpu and I have a Chimpu.
Really cute names, I must say. And how's the equation with all of you? Is she adjusted? Is she happy?
She is adjusting, and her personality is coming out every day, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. She's integrating into the family, you know, every day a little bit more. And, you know, she's, I can see, you know, when she's in her element and she's saying whatever she's saying and she's got no filter, that's when I know that she's truly, you know, comfortable and happy to be here. So, I mean, the equation has, it changes every day for the better. The equation between Veer and Tara has changed so much from absolutely resisting her and being upset that we've you know, done this to him, to now, you know, complete acceptance and even reaching a stage of, you know, that brother-sister equation that most brother-sisters have. Oh, my sister's so annoying. We've reached there also, but yet he'll come at night and kiss her on her forehead and say goodnight to her. So there's love and there's, you know, a sibling equation and, you know, there's a mother-daughter bond. There's a father, you know, Raj loves to feed her and she loves being fed by, she doesn't like to be fed by anyone. She does everything on her own. But when dad makes those magic bites, he has that knack, by the way. She just loves it. So, you know, he's got a separate equation with her. I think she's closest to me. So she's got this wonderful equation with me and she just comes now without any reason or without any provocation. She'll come and kiss me on my cheek, on my shoulder, or on my mouth. So she's developed that affection for everyone in the family. And I think it feels very nice. It feels really nice that someone who's a stranger to us 9 months ago has become so much a part of our family.
I can imagine. I mean, when I met you, when you were here in Gurgaon, I could see that bond already. And she was so happy with her Nanu Nani as well. And it was such a pleasure. So do you have any message for mothers on Mother's Day?
Well, I just would tell mums this, that you know what, it's very important to not lose sight of the fact that you are your own person as well. Motherhood should not be such that it takes over you. You must take care of yourself and you must practice self-love as well. And for working mothers, just remember that when you are doing something that is not connected to your children, when you're doing something for yourself, or when you're doing something connected to your job or work, please do it guilt-free. Because as parents, as moms, we tend to put a lot of pressure on ourselves and we feel guilty for a lot of things when we can't be with our children, when we can't do for our children, when we're not able to be physically present sometimes. So just remember that, you know, you are doing the best you can and just don't be too hard on yourself. Love yourself so you can be the best version of yourself for your parents, for your children, for your husband, for your work. So that's my message.
And one more question I had, you know, I was thinking, I remember you telling me that Tara loves dressing up and you specially took out time and didn't change and come back so that you could have a mom and daughter bonding session over the dressing up.
Here's the thing. I am a mom who wears shorts at all times. I wear shorts and t-shirt. That is my staple fare. And especially now we're in lockdown and we're staying home. I mean, unless I have an event or something, a virtual event, I don't dress up. So she sees me wearing, looking like a mundu. Like walking around in a, you know, in a singlet and shorts at all times. So the few times I do get a chance to dress up and wear a, you know, wear a gown or wear a sari, first thing I do is I go to her room and show her. Or if I'm coming from somewhere, if I've gotten dressed somewhere else, I keep that outfit on just so that my daughter can see that my mommy can also dress up and look nice.
Wow. Mommy always looks nice though. So
no, mommy can really look like you know, one little small sniveling boy. So it's nice to sometimes have some makeup on and dress up, and Tara looks at me and you can see her eyes widen and she's like, mama ne kitna sundar dress pehna hai. I like dress. I like sari. I like mama in dress. I like, now she speaks a little broken English, so I like mama dress. I like mama in sari. So
do you want to give any you know, comment for the trolls? Maybe if they are listening, they better know that they stay away.
No, enough on that. I'm done. I mean, if that makes it, that makes them happy. And if they think they've gotten attention doing things like this, then, you know, they really, really are leading very sad lives.
Yeah, that's true. And happy Mother's Day to you. I think you're one of the best moms that I know. You're so amazing. Have a great day. And thank you so much for taking out time.
Happy Mother's Day to you too, Rupali. You're a great mom and you're a great wife and you're really amazing at what you do. You know, so I write back at you, and I think all moms today should be celebrated. All moms should be put up on a pedestal. Like with Women's Day, I think it should happen every day. But, you know, we'll take, for moms, I would say we'll take this one day.
Yes. So happy Mother's Day on that note. And thank you once again. Have a great, great weekend.
All the best to you. Thank you.
We've all grown up hearing that Western foods are healthier than Indian foods. You know, a little bit of butter is better than a little bit of ghee. Of course, but this wave did not include my mother, who fed me with homemade everything like chicken curry and naan and even noodles. I mean, there was no Maggi in my life till I was done with school. Mom even came up with these yummy cheese paranthas, given my love for cheese and her dedication to ensure that I ate a proper meal. And I was a fussy eater. I still am. And of course, I wanted my Italian and continental, and I kept trying to convince my parents to, you know, convert. But Dad put his foot down, making sure we stuck to a desi diet. And boy, am I glad for that. Here's what HT Brunch columnist Veer Sanghvi has to say about debunking the notion that Indian food is unhealthy and Western isn't.
Did you grow up being told that Indian food was heavy, it was unhealthy, that Western food was so much better? I know I did. I know that when I wanted, say, a thepla or a paratha for breakfast, I was told, no, no, you can't have that. Have cereal, have cornflakes, have Rice Krispies. It's much healthier. Well, we know now that when it came to breakfast, all of this was an invention of the processed food industry. Something like 50% of many cereals is all sugar. Cereals are often the unhealthiest things you can eat. And yet, billions of dollars have been spent promoting cereals. Even the idea that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, which is nonsense, was created by the cereal industry and spread around. This is true generally. Indian food is not oily. If you go to a restaurant and you find a dish that's oily, you complain, you say, no, I don't want to go back there. They're really greasy curries. That's not actually true of Western food. As the famous chef Auguste Escoffier said, the three great secrets of French cuisine are butter, butter, and more butter. Much of Western cuisine is predicated on fat. Almost all Western fast food is a mixture of fat, sugar, and lots of wheat. And it's processed wheat, it's refined wheat, it's what we'd call maida, it's not even whole wheat, which is what we use in our chapatis. So I think the time has come now to debunk this old notion that Indian food is unhealthy and Western food is healthy. Yes, there are some things about Indian food that are unhealthy, but there's a lot about Western food, especially processed food and fast food, that is really unhealthy. So don't have any complexes, be proud of our cuisine. It's good for us and it's delicious.
It feels like deja vu as we are once again stuck in an endless summer lockdown. I mean, you can't cook in bulk and you find yourself getting overwhelmed by the negative news all over again. That's been the case for me, I mean. Unfortunately, this has only increased my morning cup of coffee to cups of coffee. And but, you know, at least I found my love for reading mystery stories and novels again as I explore those, who people claim are at par with Agatha Christie, such as Ruth Ware. And then there's, of course, comfort food, which basically includes all the recipes I've learned from my mom. And, of course, comfort music. I mean, play some Peter Katrakorinko or Parikan Singh or Tabachake, and I'm all good to go. How are you doing? Here's what HT Brunch columnist Rehana Munir has to say about familiar comforts that are helping us tide through the pandemic summer all over again.
Whatever works. I think that's a great life motto for those who are allergic to or are suspicious of things like life mottos. These days, that's what I'm going by. I'm even placated by those soothing activities that I'm not so sure are working, but are important simply because they're still happening. It could be any old ritual. It could be a morning walk, a daily phone call, a film a day, or a hot toddy at dusk, if I'm lucky. We're all caught in this limbo from which there's nothing, you know, where there's no such thing as an escape in the true sense of the word. But of course, we're all learning how to cope and deal, and we're trying to provide help and solace wherever we can. Quite apart from the constant trickle of unsavory news, the weather too in most parts is unfavorable for pleasant thoughts. I'm fortunately away in the hills where there's plenty of distraction in the form of excitable birds, splashy sunsets, show-offy flowers and the like, while my friends are sweating away, too guilty to even turn on the AC other than when it's absolutely essential. You know, the conscience right now is on hyperactive mode, and we're all feeling things, and we're very strongly feeling things. I meanwhile have been rationalizing my bad behavior using the pandemic as an excuse. A bout of exercise and muesli in the morning gives me the license to pretty much behave languidly for the rest of the day. I sometimes wonder if I wouldn't have a healthier lifestyle if I abandoned my morning routine, you know, which makes me feel so noble and so good. Like I said, the conscience works in funny ways, and perhaps I'm going to try this other tack. This week's column looks at the familiar comforts of chats and meals, music and comics, and whatever greenery we have access to right now. It's a tough summer for all of us, whichever city or town we're in. And I'd like to say we shall overcome, but it's okay to be overcome by the magnitude of the moment right now. It's the most human thing. I wish you some lightness and ease in the middle of all of this. Bye.
He's a 28-year-old Delhi NCR-based pianist who's just released his second single, Along Came You. We are talking about our HT Brunch star, Archit Anand, who has also started his own newsletter aimed at educating anyone and everyone about music, instruments, and how music can be a viable career, and of course, earning avenues beyond performances, which is the need of the hour. I got them to perform a version of Along Came You for you. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi everyone, and you're listening to my latest single, Along Came You. Along Came You is a journey of finding hope in the middle of nowhere, and an ode to all those who brought us the gift of it when it mattered the most.
Thank you.
Have a great Sunday brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys!
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.